John chapter 9 this morning, a familiar story. We'll just read the first 12 verses and that will be the text for our message this morning. But last week we spoke about the birth of Christ, of course, and spoke of the meaning of His name. His name shall be called Jesus, is what the angel told Joseph. We noted that Jesus' name was a purposeful name, for He shall save His people from their sins. We said it was a prophesied name because Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. We said His name was a precious name because God with us. And then we also ended the message by speaking of the fact that His name was a powerful name. And really, in one sense, we will begin this morning with that same thought about the power of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name. Jesus' power is seen in His ability to change lives. That's why He came. He came to change our lives. He came to redeem us from sin, purify us from all iniquity, so that we could fellowship with Him here and look forward to spending eternity with Him in heaven. But when Jesus saves us, He doesn't just change our destiny, He changes our lives. It isn't just something for the future, but it's something for the present. Our lives are changed when we believe in Jesus Christ. In our text this morning, we'll see the life of one whose life was changed, by his own words, by a man called Jesus. You may not have the same problem that this man had, but Jesus can also change your life. You see, all who truly meet Jesus do have their lives changed. All who truly meet Him and know Him have their lives changed. They're different than they were before. At this time of the year, a lot of people are making decisions about what they're going to decide to do in 3 or 4 days. On January the 1st, there's changes. They're going to make this change. I'm going to get exercise. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to live a healthier lifestyle. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going to whatever. All kinds of things that people are deciding to do, and some perhaps more significant morally and so on than those things, but they're making choices about changes they will make, resolutions that they call them. Now, I applaud everyone's efforts, and I don't think it's a bad thing at the end of a year and at the beginning of a new one to look back and think about what you could have done differently and change it for the future. I think that's probably a wise thing to do, not just at New Year, but any time we evaluate where we're at in our life. But the problem is that many are trying to do things that can only be done by the Lord, and they're going to try and do them by themselves. They're helplessly trapped and bound by sin from which only Jesus can free them. This morning, perhaps you are one of those people. Like the man in our text, you want to change your life, but you have no power to do so. And that was the case in this man's life. He had no power to change the change that needed to happen in his life. I pray that if such be the case, that this morning you will be changed by a man called Jesus. And that is the title for the message this morning. John chapter 9 verse 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which had before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for this time in your word today. Lord, I pray that we would be blessed and challenged through the portion of Scripture that we have before us today. Lord, you know the need of our life, each one. And Lord, you know the message that you have given for this day. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, apply this message to each of our hearts and each of our lives. Lord, it may be that this morning we have somebody in mind who needs to be changed in our mind. But Lord, I pray that we not only think about others, but that we realize how this message applies to each one of us in our lives this morning. And Lord, as we do come to the end of a year and look forward to a new year, if you should yet tarry your coming between now and Thursday, Lord, we also would pray that you'd help us to evaluate our lives and see things in our lives, perhaps, that by your grace and your strength we can change and improve upon for the coming year. Lord, that we would be better witnesses for you and that our lives would better reflect the change that you've made in us. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you speak to our hearts, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think, first of all, about the condition of this man in verses 1 to 3. The condition of the man is very easily stated, clearly stated and easily understood. He was blind. We would not have a problem understanding what it means to be blind. This man had been blind since birth. It wasn't something that was caused by an accident. It wasn't something caused by old age or deterioration of his eyes, but he was born blind. We don't know how old he was. How long had he been in that condition? We are not told exactly how old he was. We are told that his parents said that he is of age, so could speak for himself about himself and who healed him and so on. Some believe that that statement, he is of age, would indicate that in the Jewish culture that meant he was probably about 30 years, at least 30 years old. But we are not given that exact age. Just as safe to say, he was old enough to understand his condition. He was old enough to be stand for himself and give an answer for his change in his life. Life had been darkness, lived in darkness for him. Day and night were the same. You know, when we think about it, you open your eyes and you see if it's dark or light. Sometimes you have your eyes closed, you can still tell it's light, because your eyes can still see, and your eyelids don't provide complete blackout. They are room darkening. You know, blinds and curtains and things are room darkening. Your eyelids are kind of room darkening, right? They darken things, but they don't black things out. This man's life had been lived in complete darkness. Night and day were the same. The only difference in the seasons was the temperature. Perhaps the foods that were given to him to eat, because he couldn't see if the trees were changed color or the leaves were falling off or the fruit was growing on the trees. He didn't see those flowers budding and all those different things. He was blind. He heard the sound of voices but had no idea what the people who spoke looked like. I spend a considerable amount of my life, I have over the last 26 years or so, on the telephone in dispatch and in collections for a trucking company. And I speak with people all over the world, all over North America at least. And I have no idea what people look like, because most times I never meet them. I never know what they look like. I form a picture of what I think they might look like by the sound of their voice, but I have no idea what they look like. The odd time I have met somebody and then you go, oh wow, I didn't expect them to be that age, that young, that old, I didn't expect them to look like that, whatever. We have no idea sometimes what people look like. This man, all he could do was hear voices. And he would maybe think about what that person would be, a kind person by the tone of their voice or so on. But he had no idea what the person looked like. And he was helpless to do anything about the condition in which he lived. He was blind, and there was no cure for his blindness. There was no human cure. He couldn't go to the doctor and say, Doc, you got to do something. I want to be able to see. There was nothing that could be done, particularly in his day. And I understand that today there are people who are made to see who were blind or very poor seeing. I myself have poor eyesight. I've mentioned it many times. And I have corrective lenses that help me to see. I could have laser surgery that maybe would help even more, but I'm getting to that age where I'm going to need glasses anyway for the other reason. So what's the point of spending all the money? But, you know, this man had nothing that he could do to make his life different than what it was from the aspect of his sight. But it is interesting that though he could not see, and he could not see the Lord himself, the Bible says in verse 1, that as Jesus passed by, he saw the blind man. Jesus saw him. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. I'm sure that many a time he felt like, this man felt like he had missed out because he could not see. He may have felt left out of conversations. Hey, have you seen the color of so-and-so's tie? Have you seen the color of they dyed their hair? Have you seen the sunset? What a beautiful sunset. He had no part in those conversations. He could not understand what they were speaking about. I'm sure there's many times he felt sorry for himself because he was left out of those kind of conversations. It may have been that many times he thought, nobody cares about me. Because he couldn't see people as they perhaps walk by, give him the nod. You know, we see people, they give us the nod, right? They may not say anything verbally, they just kind of tip their head. They give us the nod or a little smile. Smiles are free. See that at some restaurants. Smiles, free. The only thing that's free, other than the courtesy water they pour out of the tap. But it's free. You know, a smile. But we see those things. And sometimes there's no verbal communication, but we can tell that somebody is communicating with us by a smile, by a nod, by a wave. And we say, everything's good in my relationship with them. I see that there's a pleasantness about this relationship because I've recognized that. This man could not see that. If somebody did not physically speak to him or perhaps put their hand on his shoulder, he would have no concept of whether they were recognizing him or not. It would be a very solitary life in many ways because of being left out in those situations. The Bible tells us that he sat and begged in verse number 8. But he didn't know if somebody walked by other than perhaps hearing their footsteps and hearing voices, if they could walk by. He didn't know who it was walking by. People may have walked by and thought, well, I'm not going to give money to him. He may have felt like, I think that person had money and they didn't give me any. I didn't hear anything jingle in my cup. I didn't feel anything be put into my hand. I am being ignored. I'm being left out. But this day Jesus was walking by. And the Bible says that as Jesus walked by, he saw the blind man. He didn't ignore him. As a matter of fact, his presence opened a discussion between Jesus and his disciples, which I have no doubt that the man heard. They began to discuss whether this man sinned or his parents, that he was born blind. Regardless of that discussion, though, Jesus had no plans simply to walk by because he tells us in verse 3 that this man's condition was an opportunity for God to show his power, for the Lord to show his power. So we know that Jesus had planned, even in eternity past, to help this man on this day. This man would not be ignored by Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to consider that Jesus notices those who are in need. People may feel sorry for themselves. They may feel like nobody cares, as I'm sure this man felt many times. We've already said that. And you and I have been in that situation where we feel like nobody, the phone doesn't ring and there's no letter comes in the mail and there's no email or text message. And we think, does anybody care that I exist? Does anybody know? Does anybody not want to say hi to me or see how I'm doing? Doesn't somebody care that I'm not feeling well today? Well, I can tell you there's one who knows and there's one who cares. It is the Lord. We are told in Exodus chapter 2, and I'm sure the children of Israel felt that they had been forgotten in Egypt when they become slaves, and the Pharaoh had certainly forgotten the kindness that Joseph had showed in delivering their whole nation. And a Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph, and the children of Israel became slaves. Their sons were being killed as babies. I'm sure they wondered, does anybody know? Does anybody care about us here, slaves in Egypt? But the Bible tells in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, that God heard the groanings of His people. God cared. In Psalm 102:19, it says, "For He, God, looked down from heaven, from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." It's a comforting thought. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus did not walk by. He saw the man. The Lord is looking down from heaven. Jesus never passed by a person without, as we look in the Gospels, many times He stopped and He healed all the sick. He cared about those people in need. And He cares about you, and He cares about me today. Matter of fact, the very reason He came is because He cares. And the Bible says that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means He cares. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God cares. Jesus saw this man. May we remember today that Jesus sees us in our need. We see that this condition the man had, though, was not caused by anything that he had done. It was a common belief of the day that disabilities were caused by sin. Now we may chuckle at the thought, but verse 2, when the disciples said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now you stop and think about that for a moment. You are 9 months from conception to birth. How do you sin in the womb to be cursed with blindness or any other illness? How can you sin before you were born? Yes, He was life, and yes, the psalmist tells us, "In sin did my mother conceive me," and so on. We realize we're sinners right from the beginning, but how can you sin before you were born? The disciples, though, wondered, did this man sin or his parents? So with that knowledge of the day, of thinking that people thought that way, imagine that added to the fact that you cannot see, people who look at you say, "He cannot see because either him or his parents did something wrong." What a stigma that was attached to disability. I wonder what he did before he was born. He must have kicked his mom in the, the wrong time when he was kicking. And what did he do? Did he cause his mom worry by not moving and making his mom think, is this baby still alive? And what sin could be done? But the stigma attached was this person or their family that they are from, they're sinners because they were born that way. So he's in this condition that he cannot see to live with that. And then people think there's something was wrong with that family. And there's no doubt that there are consequences to sin. The Bible tells us that the way of transgressors is hard. And God chastens those whom He loves. But not everything that goes wrong is a direct result of a sin committed. Far from it. We do recognize that the fall of man and the entrance of sin into the world did have an effect on creation. In other words, if sin had not come into the world, nobody would have been born blind or deaf or lame or whatever all the different things we could say. So sin had an impact, but not a particular person's sin did not cause the particular ailment that they were born with, obviously. But the curse of sin brought problems into the world. Of that, there is no doubt. Sometimes we are in a mess of our own making, but the Bible tells us that all of us were born in sin because we are descendants of Adam. The condition we are all in is something that we cannot deliver ourselves from. That man could not make himself see, and we cannot make ourselves not sinners by our own means. As we looked last week, Jesus came to forgive His people from their sins, to save them from their sins. That's why we celebrate that He came. He came because He was born to die for us. And so we see the condition of the man here was a condition from birth. It was a condition that Jesus saw. It was a condition that He could do nothing to heal Himself from. But we see the compassion of the Savior. And we've touched upon it by the fact that He saw, the Lord saw, the need of this man. But it continues because in verse number 3, I'm sure that it was music to the man's ears. When after the disciples asked who sinned, Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents." Jesus defended the man in his need and said he didn't sin that he was born blind. His parents didn't sin that he was born blind. To deflect any negative attitudes toward the man, Jesus dispelled the thought that this condition was brought upon him by his own actions, nor the actions of his parents. A kindness showed to them by the Lord, which really, as you look later in the chapter that we didn't read this morning, they really didn't deserve, because when they were questioned about the man being healed, they said, "We don't want to get into the middle of this. You go ahead and ask him." Because they heard that if they would confess the name of Jesus, that they would be taken out of the synagogue. And so they said, we wash our hands of that man, even though he changed our son's life. But Jesus defended them by saying it was not them that had sinned either. Again, must have been music to the man's ears, as many had thought and said otherwise, that it was of the man's own making. The Bible tells us of God, he shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus was on the side of this man in his need. The Lord stands for truth and righteousness. He is not against us. He came to deliver us and to save us because of His great love. The compassion of the Lord said in verse number 3, the Lord said, the reason this man is how he is so that I can show how powerful God is. This is an opportunity for me to show how great the Lord is. His life was to be changed in such a way that God would be glorified and the works of God would be manifest in this blind man. Through the healing of the blind man, not only would his own life be changed, but Jesus would be seen as the Messiah. We see that in verse 16, and though we didn't read it, you can just skip ahead there and look at verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? They recognized that Jesus was more than just an average person. He was more than just an ordinary person. This man's need was a great opportunity for Jesus to be seen as the Messiah. The Old Testament had prophesied that the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind, that he would open the eyes of those who could not see in Isaiah 35, verse 5. Of freeing the captives was another sign of the Messiah. And Jesus quoted those words in Luke chapter 4. He would be the one who would free captives. This man, he was captive in his own body because he could not see. This man in his need was there so that Jesus could meet that need and that the Lord would be glorified through it. Think about that for a minute this morning. The disappointments of life are many. The Bible tells us, that our life is full of troubles, is what we read in Job and so on. One has said this, our disappointments are God's appointments. Realize that this morning, that our disappointments are God's appointments. May we recognize the power of God to work in our lives today. Often we want to see God work, but we don't want to be in a position where God has to work. Right? We want to see God do amazing things, but we want to see Him do amazing things for us without us having to be in a position where we need something amazing done. I'm sure this man would not have chosen to be born blind. Obviously, nobody would. But this man's disability was an opportunity for God to show His ability. No matter how impossible it seems, God is able. He who spoke the worlds into being and gave a child to Abraham and Sarah when they were well advanced in years and caused a virgin to bear a son, guess what? He can meet your needs too. And in those difficult times of your life, sometimes we say, why? Maybe God is sometimes saying to us, so I can show myself strong on your behalf. So I can show what I can do for you. So I can reveal my power to you so you can see who I am in your life. See, if we could fix every problem ourselves, we would say, why do I need God? If we could fix every issue, every relationship problem, every financial problem, every health problem, if everything could be fixed without God, then why would we say we need God in our life to work in our life? How would He reveal Himself to us? We say, well, He could speak from heaven and talk to me. He's chosen not to do that, but He has chosen sometimes to work in the difficulties of our life so that we say, wow, God, You're amazing. And so we realize this man's disappointment was God's appointment to do something great in his life. His life had seemed like it was just not going the way he would have chosen it to be. People thought less of him because they thought that he'd brought it upon himself. He couldn't see. He was a beggar at the side of the road. And the Lord said, this is just a great opportunity for me to show myself as for who I am. He realized today that God is looking for people to place their impossibilities in His hand, trusting Him to do something about it. The things that are big to us are nothing to Him. I don't mean they're nothing that He doesn't care. I mean they're nothing in the sense that they are not hard for Him to deal with. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You think about this man that day, I would imagine that the best he could hope for was a good day begging. Right? A cup full of money. Maybe he didn't have to come the next day, or maybe he could get some new clothes. Or maybe he could get a good amount of food, a nice meal. But God did something far, far greater. Far, far greater than that. He gave him his sight. He changed his life. Trust God with your needs. He has a plan and will be honored in meeting them. Jesus was passionate. He was compassionate toward that man. He was passionate about his ministry. He said in verses 4 and 5, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus recognized the urgency of the work that he came to accomplish. He came to do the Father's will and to finish His work. He had said in John 4, verse 34, there was a time limit on what Jesus had to do in His earthly ministry. That in itself is amazing. Because the Eternal One bound Himself by time and gave Himself a time limit. The one who normally time isn't a factor, He's eternal. But He put Himself within the bonds of time when He was born in that cradle, placed in that cradle, born in that stable and placed in that cradle. Jesus said, the night comes when no man can work. He knew His ministry had a short time frame to accomplish everything that the Father had given Him to do. But you realize when Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work, that means you and I as well. There's a time coming when we cannot work. We have this life to live and serve God, and we should make the best of it. We must make the best and take the opportunities that we have in this life to serve Him. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We have this life. We have this opportunity to serve God. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. One has said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then what did He say other times in the Gospels? He said, ye are the light of the world. So as long as we are in this world, Christian, we are the light of this world. We are lights in this world. We, like Christ, have a time limit. How long do we have? We don't know. He knew exactly how long He had. We don't know how long we have. So what are we to do? We're to be busy about what we know we're to be doing for the Lord. We must be passionate about doing the will of God and serving Him. The world is getting dark. Are we shining for Him? One day it will be too late. Don't put it off. Be busy about serving Him. We see the change in the man's life in verses 6 to 11 as we've read it this morning. We've seen the condition of the man and we've seen the compassion of the Savior. And now we see the change in the man's life. His life was about to be changed in ways he could not ever imagine. He received his sight. Having told his mission, Jesus got right to work and healed the man of his blindness. We may wonder at his method. He spat on the ground and he made clay and he put it upon the man's eyes. And then he sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash. Why did Jesus do that? Couldn't he have just touched the man's eyes? Well, he did sometimes. Couldn't he have just spoken the word and it was done? Well, he did do that with some illnesses and some things. Why didn't he do it this time that way? You realize that God is not bound to fix similar problems the same way every time. You're in a situation, you say, God, I need you to do this. This is what I need you to do. And the Lord says, I'll help you in this situation, but you don't need me to do that. You just need me to work in your situation. He doesn't always fix things the same way. He doesn't always minister to the needs in the same manner. He's not obligated nor bound to meet the needs the same way every time. We were looking a couple weeks ago in our Bible study on Wednesday night about how the different ways, I believe it was over 500 different methods of pollinating orchids that God has chosen to establish. 500 ways to pollinate one kind of flower? That's just God. He's creative. He is the creator, and he doesn't have to do everything the same way every time because he's God. John records that when this man, having had the clay put upon his eyes and being sent to the pool of Siloam, which means sent, that he came seeing. Isn't that amazing? The man's life was hugely changed, and John just said he came seeing. Yeah, he could see. But think about what that meant to that man. Having followed the Master's instructions, he received his sight. Such simple instruction, followed by faith, resulted in such a great change. You know, many people fail to see change in their lives because they don't follow the Master's instructions. They say, I'm going to do this. I need to change this. And they struggle and they fight and they try and get this. But rather than follow the Lord and do what He said, they try and figure out their own way. What does the Lord say? Believe and be saved. People say, no, I've got to do good things, and I've got to give my money, and I've got to do penance, and I've got to do all these things. And the Lord says, that's not going to bring about the change that you need. You must believe and be saved. You must be born again. It's so simple. It's so easy that many overlook it, the simplicity of it, and they're trying all kinds of other things when the Lord says, just do as I've said. Just believe and be saved. Are you looking for change in your life? Are you looking for God to change your life? Trust Him and follow His way. The evidence of the changed life was seen in the fact that he could see. And because he could see, I guarantee his walk was different. It was like when you're trying to walk when you can't see. You're trying to not turn on the light when you need to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or go get something. And you say, I don't want to turn on the light because I don't want to wake everyone up. And you're shuffling along and you're bumping into things. And you can't walk properly because you can't see. This man's life was spent in darkness. He could not see. He probably had somebody guide him most of the time walking in his life. Now he could just walk. He could look around. Wow, look at all this stuff. His walk was different than it was before. His appearance was different. See, how do you know? Well, he went to the pool of Siloam. Jesus told him to wash. Well, yes, he washed the mud off his eyes, but I'm sure that he probably looked in that water and saw his reflection for the first time and went, oh my, look what a mess my hair is. On the other hand, it was a guy. He may not have cared. But, you know, he looked and he saw, and I'm sure he looked different when he came back. Man, what a mess. Man, my hair is such a... My clothes are dirty. They need cleaning. He looked different. His purpose was different. He had been a beggar, just trying to get enough to buy food and to live. Now he could work. He could help others, perhaps help his parents, who perhaps would have been aging if he was 30 years old. In the culture of the day, his father probably would have been elderly. His focus had changed. Now he could see the world around him. He could see more than, he couldn't see anything before, but he could see that there was more to life than just his existence. Because now he could see other people and their needs. He could see the world around him. His whole life had been changed. His whole world had been changed by receiving his sight. And people could see the difference. See, how do you know? Because they didn't even know whether it was the same guy or not. You see what we read there? It said, some said, isn't this the one that sat and begged? And others said, well, he looks like him, but he said, it's me. His life was changed from his perspective, and his life was seen to change from the outside. When you meet Jesus and follow his word, your life will be changed, and others will see it. Your walk will be different. Your appearance will be different. Your purpose will be different. Your focus will be different. Yes, your whole world will have changed. When the disciples were preaching the gospel, it was said when they came to a particular place, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Well, they didn't turn it upside down. They turned it right way back up again. Why? Because they could see their life had been changed. And your life will be a testimony to the change that God has made within. And the testimony of the change in verses 10 and 11, as we looked at it this morning, it said, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. What did he say? What was his testimony? Hey, man, how did this happen? Well, you know, I tried this new herbal diet, and all of a sudden I could see. No, that's what he said. He said, a man that is called Jesus, he changed me. He told me to do this. I did exactly what he said. And I came and I can see. I received my sight because Jesus changed me. He didn't try to take any credit for it himself. He gave the credit where the credit was due to the Lord. You think that because of what he said, other people said, where's Jesus? I want to find him. I've got a friend who's blind. I can't hear very well. I can't talk. I'm lame. I have a need. Can Jesus do that for me? Oh man, if he made me see, I'm sure he could do anything for you. His testimony would have caused others to seek the Lord. See, when Jesus changes your life and people notice, we must use that opportunity to tell them what happened and who did it. Don't say, well, I know I just decided I'd had enough of my old life and I thought I'd better change some things. Tell them the Lord changed your life. Tell them the Lord is the one who made the difference. So we're getting ready to start a new year and maybe you're looking to make some changes. Maybe stop some bad habits and make some improvements in your life. Making changes can be a good thing, but if your life hasn't been changed by a man that is called Jesus, that's the change you need first. The others won't mean much if you don't have the Lord change it first. He loves you. He knows you. He came to save you and to change your life for time and eternity. Christian, we've seen some things in this account that are for us as well. You may think sometimes nobody cares. I'm in this situation. I'm in this, and I feel isolated, and I feel like nobody knows, and nobody cares. Yeah, the Lord does. He didn't just pass by. He saw the man, and he ministered to his need. If you have obstacles in your way, say, I just wish this wouldn't have happened. Man, this is so frustrating. Maybe today you realize that your disappointments are his appointments. He just wants to do something in your life that'll show you, and through you, show others what he can do. Trust him with those circumstances in your life. Are you using your time to serve him? Jesus said that he must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Are you using this time to serve the Lord? Is there evidence in your life of the change that God has wrought? Others are watching. It's your opportunity to point them to Him. Changed by a man that is called Jesus.